What is up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host, Evan Demerle. On today's show, we are kicking off Evan Mobley week, and we're going to start by looking at Evan Mobley's star rookie season, what he was as a rookie, and kind of put it in some context now that the season has come and gone just a bit here. That's all coming up today on Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, the music you heard on the way in, at least in audio form right now, is from Asteroido. Check them out on Apple Music or Spotify, your music platform of choice. And we want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every single day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and the NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Through the Sword. Evan is over at Facebook's Right Down Euclid primarily. Evan, what's up? We're going to talk about Evan, and I'm just going to say that that means Evan Mobley and not you, and I hope you only make that joke about three times all week.
Well, I'm not going to make it now because you stole my thunder, but for those listening, for those watching, if you are listening, subscribe to us on YouTube. We always appreciate that. It's a little bit of a later episode. I've been having some back problems. I finally got it checked out. The doctor said my brain is just so staggeringly large with Cavaliers knowledge compared to everyone else that it's just causing my back to hurt. So getting it all worked out, getting a brace put in. Hopefully you don't hear me squeaking around and stuff more so than I do normally in my desk chair. But all things considered, I'm good. How was your weekend, brother?
It was good. Just moving along here, getting into spring in Ohio, and we're, you know, it's a good time. It's good vibes. But Evan, let's look at Evan Mobley, because he had obviously a phenomenal rookie season.
That's a bit of an understatement. You know,
yes, but look, whether you feel like he should have been rookie of the year, I think we have said on the show a bunch that if we had votes, he'd be a rookie of the year pick. Regardless, he had just a massively impressive rookie year. I think exceeded at least my expectations for what he was going to be. So I want to ask this. We're going to get very granular this week, looking at, you know, what's to come with him, taking your mailbag questions as listeners out there, all that stuff. But when you think about what his rookie season was, when you kind of have had some time to take a step back from it, process it, what will you remember Evan Mobley year one? What do you feel like it's all about?
I think it's just more so how refined he was coming out of the gates from his rookie season to now that you really start to think about what his potential could be long term. And I don't want to necessarily put a cap on it just because of how exciting it is. And I'm interested in that. And it's also just what really stuck out to me is, like, again, I know it's a bit of a catchphrase. You're playing bingo at home. You can check off the box if you want to, but he was the connective tissue for the Cavs offensively and defensively. And we talk about this a lot as well, that if Cleveland didn't end up with Evan Mobley, let's say he goes to Houston at two and Cleveland ends up with Jalen Green, which would still be a pretty good outcome. Jalen Green is having had a pretty good rookie year himself, but the Cavs wouldn't have the season they quite had if they didn't have Evan Mobley on the floor. And that's just, like, those are some of my biggest takeaways that we can always dive deeper, but what were some of yours?
I think it is that he comes into the league as a guy that clearly impacted winning right away. This was not something I think you necessarily expect.
That's even more incredible, though, when you think about it, especially, like, based on what we saw in Summer League, when, like, we're, like, a little lukewarm on some expectations with him.
Yeah, I mean, that's generally what I was getting to. So, like, even as far as rookies goes, they don't usually drive winning. Guys who, for looking how he did in Summer League, he didn't necessarily look like a guy that you're going to feel like was going to come in and feel that way. Now, also, when we think about Summer League, let's just remember this for in the summer when the Cavs take someone, and if they don't look great in Summer League, Summer League is very built for a specific kind of player, and Evan Mobley is not that kind of player. They didn't bring a point guard to Summer League, and in retrospect, that was not helpful to understanding what he could provide. I don't think we have seen a Cavs rookie since, like, a certain number 23 really come in and I think drive things in a positive direction. Kyrie obviously won Rookie of the Year, was great, all of that stuff. Mobley was instrumental to everything I think this team did. And the system on defense was largely built around how good he is, how special he is. We saw a guy who I think grew up as the year went on, who handled playing tons of minutes and being just a trusted guy right away. Like, really every bar you could have seen Mobley be asked to clear, I think he cleared it. And that sets him on a trajectory where, like, you know, what his year two leap looks like will be fascinating. What his year three looks like will be fascinating. And he's a guy that is on this trajectory now where it's like, this is a franchise-level guy. And, you know, I think there's a lot of optimism about him. But I think you come away from his rookie year just feeling like, okay, the Cavs got a dude. And they have a couple other dudes. But they have a guy that, like, in a year, 2 years, like, this might be the best guy on the team. And that's saying something.
Yeah, that really is saying something because it
muted. You're muted, buddy.
It really is saying something because Darius Garland is obviously incredible offensively. Jared Allen is obviously incredible defensively. But I don't think it is far-fetched to really think about that at the end of the day either. It's just where his trajectory and growth takes him. And like you said, he leveled up and grew up quite a bit throughout the season where, like, he had to go from playing the floor exclusively to playing the five to wrap up the year with Jared Allen out, to kind of showing his finesse as a playmaker, showing some of his panache as a shooter, which you need to see more of, obviously. You're starting to see more of the defensive impact and how he impacts winning. And like you said, rookies don't really do that. And it's exciting to think of where his trajectory will go and where it's headed. And I know, like I said at the top, my genius for this team is absolutely staggering at times. I had good feelings about Evan Mobley, but I didn't have these expectations coming right out the gates because I think what you saw at Southern Cal and then what you saw in Summer League rightfully could have made you feel underwhelmed unless you put context behind the situation where Mobley was the point guard for that USC team and Isaac Okoro and others that aren't point guards were playing point guard for the Cavs in Summer League. So I just think obviously he was just put in a good environment where I think he's allowed to grow too. Well, there's not that much onus and pressure on a rookie maybe that he would have had in Houston, or he would have had, God forbid, in Orlando as well, or any other of those teams where maybe, like, there's a higher expectation because there's an established star in Darius Garland, or at least a blossoming star in Darius Garland, an established star in Jared Allen, and then you have, like, all these good complimentary pieces in Sexton and Okoro and Kevin Love and then Ricky Rubio at the time as well. Like, Evan Mobley was able to grow and develop on his own, and I think that was a conducive environment that just kind of lit a spark and is going to help him hit the apex of what his potential could be.
Yeah, I would be curious to get into it. We're going to talk later in the week about where he's going to go. I think he just comes in and it's like, here's a guy that had two injuries, had the elbow injury, then has the leg ankle injury later in the year, ends up still playing 69 out of a possible 82 games. I think added little stuff throughout the year. I mean, we saw him go from, you know, he's not like a heavy screener, but he started, like, actually setting some screens, played 34 minutes a game as a rookie, you know, shot out above 50% from the field, and we'll get into his offensive stuff, which remains a little bit underwhelming on the stat show later in the week. But, like, you felt like he just kept adding things as we went on. Like, you felt like, you know, the fact that I think, like, the most emblematic thing about Mobley is that you see J.B. Bickerstaff, who I think can be a little hesitant to trust, like, younger guys fully and just embrace them, say, hey, I'm going to take Evan Mobley and I'm going to build a 3-2 zone around him. I'm going to build a zone around him where he can roam and he's going to be the focal point of that zone. Like, that being him as a guy that you're just going to say, hey, our defense, when especially in certain looks, is going to be built around this kid who's 20 years old. It's crazy. That's absolutely crazy, and it's kind of, we're going to, in the next segment, we're going to talk specifically about his defense, so I don't want to hit too much on it right now, but it's just like, it's just very clear that, like, he's going to take them certain place. Garland helped get them someplace this year. Allen is a support system to, I think, where they're going. Mobley is a guy that could take them somewhere that I don't think we thought maybe they were going to go before this year, unless you were just, like, an extreme homer about this basketball team.
Yeah, no, I think you and I were a little bit more level-headed about our expectations, and we're happy to correct the record and say we were wrong with where this Cavs team is headed. But I think, just to kind of put a bow on this a little bit before we kind of hone in on the defensive numbers, I just didn't expect this impact in winning, because you just normally don't expect that from rookie players. And like you mentioned, Kyrie won Rookie of the Year, and that was the last Rookie of the Year winner for the Cavs, technically. But after that, it was a different situation though, because Kyrie's kind of in a crappy draft class. Like Gordon Hayward was, and Kawhi Leonard were arguably like some of the top players outside of Kyrie in that draft class, and they were drafted in the middle of the lottery to the mid first round. And I mean, it's just hard to put in context. And Klay Thompson as well was picked 11th by Golden State. Like, so it's hard to put in context the impact of that draft class, where you have this draft class Mobley's in, and it's just so loaded talent-wise. Like, you could say that most of the teams in the top 15 or so have a high-impact player or a possible franchise cornerstone on their hands now. And that's kind of unprecedented when it comes to the overall impact of these rookie players, and I just don't think that's any detriment to Mobley's season either, that he didn't win the top honors and then went to Scotty Barnes instead.
Yeah, all right, after the break, we're going to go deep into Evan Mobley's defense, what made it so stand out as a rookie, what made him a focal point of Cleveland's defense on the year. But Evan, I am first going to tell everyone about our friends at Bet Online. Bet Online is the number one source for all your betting stats and sports info right now. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for your sports wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. For instance, BetOnline has the Heat as -355 favorites in their series against the 76ers, who are +285 with Joel Embiid out for the first two games at least. Evan, who do you have in Heat Sixers? Real quick, give me a team.
I'm going to go with the Heat in six.
Okay, and then the Suns are -285 favorites in their series against the Mavericks. The Mavericks are +240 in that series. I have Phoenix in that one. Evan, who do you got?
Suns in five.
Ooh, Suns in five, a little spicy. All right, that's BetOnline. That's where the game starts. Check them out today at betonline.net. All right, back here on the Locked On Cavs podcast, your first listen every day. And also, if you want a great second listen, go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look at the NBA Draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. So let's dive in now into Mobley's defense as a focal point. I think the clear thing he was as a rookie. This, Evan, to me, is very clearly the side of the ball where he was great right away. I think it's much clearly further ahead than his offense. I think he's the impact he provides to a winning basketball team right now is more clearly on defense than his offense right now. So I want to ask you, what popped to you about it? When you think about Evan Mobley as a defender, as a guy that, you know, it's like him and Herb Jones as these outstanding defensive rookies, there's a case to be made that this is probably an all-defensive guy and a guy that could be that going forward and probably you should expect to be going forward. What popped to you about his defense as a rookie?
Just one, how he's able to defend the rim so well without failing. I think that's a skill set Jared Allen kind of uniquely possesses. I think the Cavs are just the benefactors of having two big men that are able to do that, and then you play them on the floor, just kind of forms, to quote former Pistons great Stan Van Gundy, form a fucking wall at the basket for the Cavs. But it's not just that, but I think it's a switchability. It's something you noticed early in the season, where at times, if the opposing teams were to force a switch and have Mobley defend a player in isolation or on the perimeter, he didn't shy away from that. He kind of embraced it and used just his freakish length and athleticism to kind of not put opposing players in hell, but make them uncomfortable at least, and probably force them to pass the ball or kick it to somebody else just because they weren't going to get the look they were hoping for. And I think that's an exciting launching point, on top of him just naturally adding muscle mass through an NBA strength and conditioning program, because just he has such a nice base package, such a good template to build off of, that the sky's the limit defensively for what he can do. It's just where it takes him, obviously, but there's like a little bit of everything you saw on nearly every facet of the game defensively that he just made an impact.
I think the fouling thing, the not fouling thing, I think is a really good thing to hit on, because you will see guys be really impact defenders and like make positive impact plays on defense. They will sometimes have a high foul rate. I think one of the, if we go back to 2018, when the Cavs brought in one Larry Nance Jr., this is okay. He's going to help the Cavs on defense, play some four, play some five. I remember distinctly thinking, okay, one of the things in his in his bat, and what he is, that was a concern was his foul rate, and that you can foul guys a little too much, get yourself in trouble, all that stuff. Mobley being a rookie who has such control over how he defends, over how his really long limbs work, is just like kind of crazy. And it leads into like the thing that the fact that the Cavs were like, hey, you want to switch? Like teams, you watch the playoffs right now. Look how many teams are saying, hey, we want to attack your five that and get them in space. That was like what Luka Doncic just did to Rudy Gobert at the end of that series. It is teams are doing that to DeAndre Ayton. Like teams are going to go at centers, and the Cavs, if you know they make the playoffs, I'm sure we'll see this with Mobley and Allen. The Cavs from pretty much day one were like, hey, if you want to attack this 7-foot weirdo that we have that we just drafted and you think is green and all this stuff, by all means go ahead. And he held up. And like I don't have the second spectrum numbers to tell you how he did on switches. The eye test tells you that like he's already really good at defending switches, and part of it is I think because he doesn't foul, and like that gives you, I think that he already doesn't, like he doesn't foul, and that isn't something he has to clean up, like his defensive chops are already so clean, gives you I think a lot of optimism about like what his defensive upside even is going forward in a lot of ways to me.
I want to give a quick shout out to front of the pod Rob Mahoney and his piece on Evan Mobley's defensive impact for the Ringer a few weeks ago, and I just want to pull a quick excerpt from it. It's, defense is the NBA's greatest learning curve, but before Mobley could even fill out his frame or fully learn the scouting report, he was ruining the scoring attempts of every opponent he came across. In a way, this was Cleveland's plan from the start. Most rookies, even highly touted draft picks, are given room to find themselves in their first year in the league. Promise can be flighty, which is why coaches tend to structure their teams around more veteran players and allow their live wire prospects to fill the space in between. The Cavs, however, are built in a way where Mobley affords that freedom to veterans. He is 6 feet and 11 inches of bedrock. Like, that's a good way to sum up his impact and also just how the Cavs utilized him, where they had the structure around him to allow him to kind of grow into his game and become more comfortable and show the glimpses and ability of what he can and can't be. But he is just so g-dang good defensively that the Cavs are able to do some really funky and flexible things where they can play Lauri Markkanen to three. They can play lineups that feature Lauri Markkanen and Kevin Love if you have Evan Mobley in the fold as well. And let's just even more context. You have Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, and Lauri Markkanen more or less defending the perimeter, and you're comfortable doing that because Evan Mobley is just so good defensively. And I think having an anchor alongside him and Jared Allen just gives him the freedom to kind of grow and just do this weird stuff where he impacts winning on that side of the ball. And it's cool, man. I'm a fan of it. I like it. It's my type of player.
Cavs for the year, just in terms of what they finished at defensive rating wise, according to the Clean of the Glass, finished with the, well, I'm gonna have to pull this up in a different sense. These are playoff stats, excuse me. I will pull this up here in a second. Regular season, filtering those. For the year, they finished with, I'll come back to this in a second. So the other thing that I think, the website's having a little bit of a wonky moment. The other thing that I think does stand out is just how, we hit this in the first segment a little bit. I just didn't know if I expected Evan Mobley to be like a featured component of the defense from like day one. And like that involves the switching, that involves like the zone stuff, that involves like everything that they did is help side stuff. Like, I think we thought he was going to be like a good defensive player, and that was clearly one of the benefits of him. And maybe this is just because like I didn't watch him from, you know, like high school to USC to all of that stuff. Like I didn't have the track record on him, and that maybe that's a blind spot. You just look at what he was as a defender, and it's like I don't know if you expected this guy to be this malleable in terms of how he could use him. And that's crazy. And just for the record, Cavs finished the year 6 in defensive rating, 110 points per 100 possessions. That's 2.3 points per 100 possessions better than the league average. Only teams better.
Context.
I will pull it up. It was definitely pretty bad.
Yeah, definitely pretty bad. 2020. To jump off your point real quick, like Rob said, you don't expect rookies to be high impact defenders because of how steep NBA the learning curve is for NBA defenses. And I'm sure the Cavs maybe internally have this belief in Mobley, but like for us as outsiders, the expectation was to have Isaac Okoro or maybe Lamar Stevens provide help on the perimeter, and then have Jared Allen just completely pamp the paint in the middle, and then you hope that this rookie can tap into some of his potential early. But no, it's the inverse of everything, and it's just kind of beautiful to watch it happen. What were they at, though, last year in defensive rating?
Last year in defensive rating, Cleveland was 25th at 115.1 points per possession. The league average last season was 112.9. So they were like, basically, it was versus the average. It was like a 5-point swing vis-a-vis the league average, and like a 5-point swing in their defensive rating, which is like that's a jump. Like that, like the difference between last year from
19 spots last year to this year, finishing out the season. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, and like the difference from bottom of the league last year to this year, so this in 2020-2021, the league's best defense was the Jazz at 107.5. The worst defense league was Sacramento at 117.6. So it's like a 10-point, like they were splitting the difference basically between the worst defense in the league and the best defense in the league in terms of their improvement year over year, which is like kind of wild. And this past year, in terms of defensive rating, the best in the league was Phoenix. The Boston at 106.9, and the worst was Houston at 117.8. That's like, again, like it's, there's about splitting the middle between like the worst all the way to the very best. And like, you know, Boston had one of the best defenses we've ever seen this year. Yeah. All right, after the break, we're going to get into the 2021 draft, looking back for a second, and the answer for Cleveland is obviously that they're very happy. But I think everyone kind of comes away happy, and I just want to we want to take a second, I think, to talk about this draft class. But Evan, we're first going to tell everyone about Built Bar, and this is the time of year where people are giving up on New Year's resolutions. But look, Built Bar can help you not do that. Their protein bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Yes, 100% real chocolate, including their puffs. If you go to built.com and check out the macros chart, you're going to be blown away. High protein, low calorie, high fiber, and low carb. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. And they have great flavors, too. Coconut almond, mint brownie, cookies and cream, which is Evan's favorite. They're all delicious, and new flavors are coming out all the time. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order and save on amazing flavors like coconut, mint brownie, cookies and cream, and more. Again, use the promo code at LOCK15, LOCKED15, for 15% off at built.com. All right, last segment, Lockdown Cavs Podcast. I'm Chris. That's Evan. Evan, true or false, everyone from the 2021 draft class, the top of that draft, so Cade at 1, Jalen at 2, Mobley at 3, Scotty at 4, Suggs at 5. Everyone, I think, comes away pretty happy looking back.
True, especially if you're Orlando at 5 because you got Franz Wagner as well, which is a pretty good like addition to your rookie class. So, I mean, you can even stretch that further. Like, Josh Giddey's been phenomenal for OKC. Maybe you make an argument for him over Suggs. But, yeah, I think every team in the top 5, even the top 10 possibly, were pretty happy with who they ended up with.
I mean, look, Cade had an incredible push in the regular season. You know, Jalen Green had some, I think, improvement over the course of the season.
The 3-point shooting increase for Jalen Green was pretty fun to watch. Like, just the efficiency of his shot selection was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, we just saw Kuminga at 7 for the Warriors just kind of come in and make an impact in that class and make an impact in a first-round series. Like, Sengun, Rockets fans love him. Trey Murphy's getting some playoff run for New Orleans before they got eliminated. Like, I mean, Isaiah Jackson, who weirdly will be mentioned on tomorrow's show in a stat context, didn't expect that when I was doing my research for that show, but it happened. Like, this class just comes away, I think everyone, especially at the top, just comes away, I think, very thrilled. And also, if you're Cleveland, I think it's just worth reemphasizing this. The Cavs are just, like, very lucky to have got the 3rd pick and to be able to get Evan Mobley. Like, very fortunate in terms of their roster building. Like, we should give them credit and stuff, but, like, very lucky to get that guy.
Yeah, I'm going to double-check the lottery odds to jump up there, but I know heading into this draft, the main player that everybody wanted was Cade Cunningham, but at the time, when we were doing some of our Locked On NBA draft coverage, like, it was pretty well said that if Cade wasn't in this draft, Evan Mobley would be like the clear cut number one overall prospect. And yeah, that's like, so the Cavs' highest percentage was a 25% chance of picking 7th overall, 25.5% chance to be specific. They only had a 10.6% chance. That was the lowest odds possible they had other than picking 8th or 9th in the draft or 5th. But like, in terms of just the top 4, that was the lowest possible odds they had. And they leaped the Magic and the Thunder to get there. And it all was extremely beneficial for them in the end because, hey, it was just a little bit of luck, and they it depends on how you feel about Scottie Barnes. It depends on how you feel about Jalen Green. When we have Marissa McNeese on the show later in the week to possibly talk about Evan Mobley, it depends on how you feel about Cade Cunningham, because just based on her personal feelings, I won't out her too much. But yeah, I agree with your assessment that I think every team in the top 10 possibly is happy with their rookie. Even Davion Mitchell was pretty good for the Kings at times too. They're just a mess of an organization in general, so it's hard to take full stock of what a rookie's doing there. But yeah, no, the Cavs got incredibly lucky, and that's kind of what the lottery system is, though, at the end of the day. Like, the Cavs have a less than 1% chance of cracking the top four at any spot. So, I mean, there's a chance, and it's just fully luck, just based on the odds and the algorithms that the NBA utilizes, that we could be talking about players, like wing players at 14, and then come 2 weeks from now, 2 weeks from Tuesday to be specific, like, the things could change for the Cavs. They could be picking first, and like, we would be I would be absolutely insufferable, but
probably not going to happen. Last year they had a 10.6% chance of landing the third pick. That was of the top four picks, that was Cleveland's least likely pick to land. So 11.5 at 1, 11.4 at 2, 10.6 at 3, 11% even at 4. Like, their most likely pick was like 7th at 25.5%. Like, this could have gone so much worse for them. And like, this would not, like, I firmly believe that if we look back at this and they had like, this is even an insult on Jalen Green. If they had ended up with Jalen Green, who I kind of thought on draft night, it's like, okay, it's going to go Cade, Mobley, and they're going to take Green at 3. I don't think this goes as well for them. They're not nearly as good of a basketball team this year. If they slide to 7 and they take a Giddy or someone like that, even though those are like interesting players, they're just not nearly in the position they are unless they get Evan Mobley. And like, we should, I think, consider just the luck of getting this guy for Cleveland. If they're looking at this and thinking about this, and we as analysts are thinking about this, they're just, again, insanely lucky to have gotten lottery luck to get like a generational talent that they kind of desperately needed to figure out what this was. Like, he has made this work in a way that is crazy.
Yeah, he really has. And I think we harped on this a lot heading into last year's draft. The Cavs were kind of searching for the guy after LeBron left town for the second time. They kind of had something in Kyrie, but like, they couldn't fully flesh out a playoff caliber team. Let us remind everyone that they had a big three of Kyrie, Luol Deng, and Spencer Haywood flanking things. And then they had Tristan Thompson, who was kind of buried on the bench just under Mike Brown, which was weird because Anderson Varejao was also an all-star caliber big man before he popped his Achilles. It was just a weird time back then, so the fact that the Cavs were able to kind of build this out so organically through the draft has been huge, but it does take a lot of luck as well. I think Evan Mobley hitting, and I think him coming into the situation and kind of playing freely and allowing to just develop and grow his game at his own comfort level and just slowly progress. And like Chris said at the top of the show, you watched him just kind of level up and grow up, is a better way to put it, like Chris put it, throughout the season, that heading into his sophomore season, it's exciting. But like, year three, Evan Mobley, that's going to be even more exciting, because like, that's when he's going to really have like two full seasons under his belt, being an NBA strength and conditioning program for 2 years at this point. Like, he could be an absolute monster by year three. And like, I talked to a scout before the season, like, yeah, maybe an MVP caliber player someday. And like, maybe he's more so flirting with that trajectory by the time year three rolls around, just based on how next year goes for Cleveland.
Evan, last thing, when you think about the last year's rookie class, just, and you think about Mobley, how do you, where does he fall in terms of your favorite guys? Like, is in terms of the best guys in that class, if you had to power rank the top five guys you own stock in right now, where would he rank? I'm putting you on the spot, but I feel like you deserve to be put on the spot a little bit.
That's fine. Evan Mobley 1, Cade Cunningham 2. Golly. Probably Josh Giddey 3, or no, sorry, Scottie Barnes 3, Josh Giddey 4.
Yeah.
And then probably Jalen Green 5, because I'm a big believer in Green and his stock. What about you?
Yeah, I would have Mobley, then Cade, then Scottie, then Jalen, and then 5 is, it could be, you could talk me to Giddey. I wouldn't be paired to myself.
Giddey's a big guard. He plays defense. You know I like players like that.
Yeah, there's just like a lot of different ways you think you go with like the different guys from the class. Like Franz, you know, I had a great year. Like, you know, you could feel, if you feel a certain way about Herbert Jones, like another guy just had like an insane season. Like, there's just a lot of different ways you can kind of go. This is just like a really, really good rookie class.
Yeah.
Just like an insanely good rookie class.
It's a good talent boost that a lot of teams needed, especially some of these smaller markets. And it's crazy to think that the Grizzlies kind of whiffed on some of their picks in this year's draft. I mean, I know Zaire Williams is not bad, yeah, but like, he's not going to be like a huge impact player just in the grand dichotomy unless like they start shedding a lot of things.
Here's the thing. The NBA draft, just like all sports drafts, is kind of insanely hard. The Cavs, yep, like, kind of just kind of... Look, I think more than... Give them credit for making the pick, all of that stuff. Do whatever you want. They got very lucky to get Evan Mobley, and I think that is kind of the summation. It's like they're much better off and very lucky for being able to get him. All right, that's going to end today's show. We're going to be back tomorrow talking about some of the numbers and stats that define... Well, there's the same thing. But some of the stats that defined Evan Mobley's rookie year, how he decided to give you a specific tease, his defensive impact as a rookie and how it compares to not only some of the best players in the league, but some of the other rookies in his class and how that sets him apart. Mobley's numbers without Jared Allen, and then his shooting percentage, the one thing that that we should be looking at as far as a leap for him in year two as an impact player. Till then, I'm Chris. That's Evan. Be well. Looking great. Second listen. Check out Locked In NBA from the play-in tournament all the way to the NBA Finals. They're covering the latest and greatest over on Locked In NBA Monday through Friday. Check it out. Be well. Stay hydrated and have a good one.